You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
Yeah.
He sent it to me. It's really rad. I was like, dude, that is so dope. I like compilation albums. There's got to be more. And looking into it, of course, there's more and so on. That was probably in 2014, 2015, thereabouts. I believe it was more along the lines of 2015. But it's one of those things where I was like, you know, I really like the music. I didn't know really what it was called or anything like that. I had been listening to music like that for a long time, but I never really sat down and decided to compartmentalize every single different little aspect of metal music or any type of music. So I didn't really think, hey, let me stick myself in this niche. But then I began to realize that, you know, this niche isn't really on the radio, so I got to go looking for it. You know, so started looking for bands around town that kind of met the feel for it, and went and saw bigger acts that I had heard that were kind of associated with it and whatnot, and picked up from there. The whole photography thing for them didn't actually occur until 2019. So I had been doing it for quite some time, kind of freelance. 2017, me and my brother actually rode out to Dune and Stone, Indiana in October and did that. And it was freelance and kind of put it out there that we were going out there. Not that much of a call to arms or anything like that. And, you know, we were just two dudes.
Indiana. We're rolling into Indiana.
Yeah, and it was a wild trip. For whatever reason, I decided that weekend was going to be the weekend that I was going to, like, cool it with my drinking. So I only drank beer that weekend, had a couple of shots with my brother and, you know, herbal supplements here and there. And it started from there and continued to do what I did in my scene, because I actually have my own faction here in Richmond, the River City Doom Consulate. And that's one of those things where it was a branding thing. I had this Instagram that was kind of dead, and I had been taking my camera to shows for about 3 years just to remember things and whatnot, and try to keep on keeping on with it. And then went to Doomed and Stoned Indianapolis in 2018 alone. My brother, for whatever reason, didn't tag along that time. Did that one freelance and, you know, posted pictures here and there. And eventually, you know, in 2019, one of their contributors contacted me because they were in a band that was actually in Richmond, and they were no longer in that band and they had moved to Florida. And Billy from Doomed and Stone, he's the one that runs it, him and Melissa out of Indianapolis. Billy, I don't know if you know him, but he's actually out of Portland, Oregon, out there. And he was contacted by one of our constituents saying, hey, this guy might do the job for you because he's from Richmond. I'm no longer in Richmond. And it went by the wayside, and she actually contacted me. We had a little phone interview kind of deal, and she was like, hey, you should really do this. Like, figure out how to do this and do it. You're already doing it. You might as well be the one to do it. So I sent them my hodgepodge of a quick and dirty portfolio, and he liked what he saw. And then May of 2019, he offered me the job, so to say.
That's fantastic. Hey, Randy, I want to introduce you to everybody on the podcast. This is Ken Vellante with Something Rather Than Nothing. We're talking with Randy J. Bird. Really excited to chat with him. Hey, Randy, I want to tell folks a little bit about some of the bands and some of your connections there. Randy's based in Richmond, as he just mentioned, done some work with the River City Doom Consulate. Photographer for Doomed and Stoned, which we were talking about. We'll get a little bit more into the great work that Doomed and Stoned do for the metal community. Chernobyl Swamp Holocaust. Gosh, I love that. I love that title. Thank you for the title and thank you for the music. 6-7. You've dabbled a little bit of hip hop. This is the Richmond Doom scene. Randy J. Bird, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, man.
All right. We're gonna talk some metal. We're gonna talk some doom, some photography, some art. But bring us back. Everybody's question when they meet a metalhead: where did you come from? What were you like when were you younger?
Well, actually, when I was younger, I was rather shy, quite reserved. I was a dude of very few words. But I kind of fit into the misfit crowd. I never really did my homework. But I always listened to music from the time I was a little baby. My mom actually sat me in a playpen in between, you know, two 15-inch speakers and blasted the likes of Eddie Van Halen and Ozzy Osbourne and the likes. And, you know, from there, I always had music in my blood and just got into metal, you know, angsty teenager about middle school, thereabouts, probably 13, 14 years old, got into the likes of like Korn and Limp Bizkit and all that angsty stuff and so on and so forth. Roadrunner Records was a huge label in my mind when it came to artists to listen to, like Slipknot and stuff like that.
Yeah, so tell us, there's a couple pieces here we'll be chatting about with your art and talking about the scene. You know, we'll be chatting a little bit about, you know, the photography that you do, the, you know, great concert photography connecting to the doom scene. But what about your playing and your musical projects? I mentioned a few things that you've done. Could you kind of get into, you know, how you picked up the bass guitar, things you started to dabble in, and how you started to make music on your own?
Yeah, it's one of those things where with the bass guitar, I'd wanted to do that again since middle school. You know, Gene Simmons was one that I looked to as far as bass-wise. I wanted to play bass, but my parents didn't have the luxury to really feel what I wanted as a child. They thought that I would be bored with it, so they got me a guitar. So I actually picked up the guitar right around 1999. It was a good 2-3 months after I actually received it that I started actually fiddling with it. Kind of taught myself how to do stuff by the radio and try to figure things out and, you know, listen to AC/DC on the radio and try to figure out these riffs and picked it up here and there. Had an uncle that showed me a couple of bar chords from country and stuff like that and just fiddle with that. And then 2002 rolled around and I got on the garage with a buddy of mine that we became best friends, and we actually started a garage punk, like pop punk band called the Monday Night Turnouts. And it was straightforward rock and roll, you know, kind of Mudhoney garage band, Nirvana kind of stuff.
Sure.
Blink-182, stuff like that. And I got into that and did that for quite a while, and then we fizzled. When we graduated high school, we didn't really figure out what we wanted to do with life, and I went and moved to Arizona and went to Motorcycle Mechanics Institute and lived there for 18 months, did that thing and got my paperwork so I could move on with my profession outside of art and stuff like that. And then still got back together with him and never could really find a drummer. So it kind of went to the wayside. So I went more along the lines of motorcycles and the like with that. And I got into a real bad accident in 2010. I got hit by an SUV at a red light.
Oh, man.
And yeah, it was wild. I was in the middle of some personal things with, you know, life, and that didn't really help all that well. But I ended up making out a little bit with some money, and I decided, you know, I might not do motorcycles for a while, so let me get some more music equipment. So I got some sweet guitars and some sweet amps, and me and my buddy continued the little bar circuit with the and whatnot. And then he moved about 3 hours away, and I got depressed and entered in 6-7. 6-7 was wild, man. That was 2013, thereabouts. Actually, right around 7 years, they actually officially made it so that I was in the band. The end of this January, 7 years, thereabouts. And their avant-garde bohemian hip-hop is one of those things where I'd always wanted to do kind of that hip-hop bass kind of.
Yeah.
Because I grew in between two kind of factions, between metal and rock and roll and then hip-hop. So sure. It was one of those things where this band, being that they melded the way that they did, they were very protest-orientated. They were very open-minded as far as the things that are going around on this earth and in this country, as far as the things that shouldn't be going on and what we need to do to try to fix that. And one of the things that I learned through them is the revolution, you know, is not violence, it's art.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I took it.
I like that. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So I took it and ran with it.
So one of the things I wanted to, you started to chat about it with the Doomed and Stoned. One of the things I just wanted to mention to do a little plug for the project that you work on is that Doomed and Stoned, you can get the compilations on Bandcamp, and these compilations are, you know, stoner metal, doom metal, in particular geographic areas. And I know I picked out a whole bunch of them, and I love it. And here's what I think it accomplishes, that is a newer type of accomplishment of connecting you to the sound of a scene, right, in a particular yes. geography. Or I know there's a whole country one for Australia, but sometimes we see it by state, by city, Pacific Northwest, Portland, Indiana, mm-hmm. Doomed and Stoned. So it's just a lovely project for me as a metal fan, and doom metal being my particular category that I love the most. So I just encourage everybody to connect with Doomed and Stone there. But I wanted to ask you, Randy, because I had mentioned you previously. I've known a couple folks who really important to me musically who mention Richmond and the Richmond scene, and not just for metal, but just kind of underground punk metal. Can you tell us just, you know, where that comes from? Because I hear it all over the place. I'm from Rhode Island, so I'm a Yankee, okay. right? I hear Richmond at first. I was like, whoa, what's coming out of Richmond? But that's all I heard. So tell us what's going on. You know, obviously with the pandemic right now, but what's the background with the Richmond underground scene?
Oh, it's really, really rife with all kinds of culture. I mean, you got the hip hop that's underground, you got punk, metal, everything, the likes, and it all kinds of mixed together. It melds together. Richmond's a very dank, swampy kind of city. You know, you got trains that are going through the town, and you got industrial complexes everywhere. You got the hustle and the bustle of, you know, Bank of America associates going through the town and stuff like that. So it's one of those things where there's always something going on. And with the music, I mean, you got bands like Lamb of God, Windhand, Cough.
Oh, Windhand, yeah. Lamb of God, love it.
Yeah, Battlemaster, Humongous. Book of Worms, just all kinds of stuff. Gwar, I mean, you know, Gwar is from outer space, but actually their home their they home base they landed, so to speak, in Richmond. And they took over an old dairy complex. It was an old building for a dairy company. And they took it over and said, this is ours now.
That's incredible. Hey, what about one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and thanks for that a little bit of background on Richmond. I'm sure, you know, we'll chat about it a couple more times. But one of the things I wanted to ask, and I alluded it to, you know, what a scene looks like now in the pandemic. And I don't get to ask this question that often of, you know, music folk and metal folk. But what's the role of like metal? What's the role of doom in our times right now? For me, it seems like kind of like the music for the times. But I wanted to ask you that question. What's the role of art, particularly, you know, metal and doom metal and music during a pandemic?
Well, with the pandemic going on, everybody's like, is the world coming now? How about now? Now? Yeah. Now. Whereas doom and metal, they're always like, it is here and now, but we're going to go with it and we're going to slay the world and we're going to take it over and we're going to just take it by the horns and make it ours. Everybody gets to live the Mad Max lifestyle now.
Embrace it, right? Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I really like that. Hey, Randy, I wanted to one of the things when I'm doing a music episode, I don't like to have the audience wait too long to hear a little bit. I wanted to play a track here, and it's from a project of yours, Soundbite the Bullish, and the track is called Lost as You Are. I'm going to play that track and then I'm going to ask you a bit about that project of yours, and we can riff off of that. Sound good?
Yeah, man.
All right, here we go.
You got
Well done. I love it. Hypnotic.
Thanks, man. Thanks, dude.
I love it. Tell us about your project.
So I Bite the Bush, man. It's something that's two dudes, and it's one of those things where we are two eclectically different but the same individuals. We are very, very good friends. I'd say best friends at this point. We were both in 6-7 together. And 6-7 ceased to exist, and we were like, we're not stopping music. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And we were like, we can't do what we were doing in 6-7, so we're going to do our own thing. And it's just one of those things where we try to make it as emotive as possible. We call ourselves Trap Sabbath or Pink Void. It's very trippy, very genre bending. Being a metalhead, a bassist / guitarist, I get to do what I want with the sounds that I make. You know, all the distortions and all the bass is mine. And we had to learn the program to put everything else in it, as far as your melodies, the samples, and the drums, and all that. Like, we're not drummers. We're not piano players, and we are so instilled with those items being in there that we had to figure out how to do it. And we spent a lot of time in the lab, learning the thing and doing the damn thing and writing the music all at the same time.
Yeah. I. Thanks for the insight into that. About the different genres, I'm somebody who really likes a variety of music. I mean, no, that's the standard answer to every human being that's existed, that everybody likes everything. But there are some people who do like a lot of different things, and those who really don't. And I just love the influences in the hip hop and the doom and the guitar is just fantastic. I wanted to ask you a big question that's part of the show. Randy J. Bird, what is art?
Art, man, dude, art is everything. I don't care what anybody says. Art is just literally everything. It's anything anyone wants to be: painting, writing, drawing, videography, gluing quarters to the floor under a vending machine. I have to thank Empire Records for that one. If I hadn't seen that movie, I wouldn't have thought that was art.
Right,
but it helps someone relinquish the demons that are within them, and then it's art. You know, creation and destruction can both be art. Art is endless, and art is why life is worth living.
I one of the things, and thank you for your comments on art. I mean, I've been heavily influenced personally in my development by, being in Oregon and spending time in Portland and the prominence of art and artistic expression. But I tell you, Randy, the metal scene, I never had that kind of real kind of heavy, plodding, cloudy, rainy, incredible doom scene that exists in the Pacific Northwest. It comes out of the soil. And so one of the things that I it really made a big difference for me, kind of feeling that the art was so close by. And that's the piece I've really picked up on in some of the things that you help on with the visuals for Doomed and Stoned, right, is connecting to those local scenes, and it's a huge influence on me. You know, art being active in the community. One of the things I wanted to ask you, and I know we got into this a little bit before about your background, but would you say that there's any particular person or particular thing that formed who you are as a person?
Well, I would have to say that it's a combination of multiple things. As far as the what made me who I am today is my parents' divorce at a young age, and as well as my motorcycle accident in 2010.
Sure.
The who are my mom, my stepdad, my brothers, and a few friends that I have on this earth. They all taught me to be me no matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter if I'm happy or I'm sad or anything like that. I'm always going to be me because of what I've been shown. It's like a mirror, but not.
Yeah. And so just kind of it's along the lines of just expressing yourself and feeling comfortable in your own skin, right?
Yeah, most definitely. It helps with the emotions that float around because we as people, we can't have one emotion set here and one emotion set there. It's kind of flowing. And I've spent a lot of time in the lowest of lows and a lot of time in the highest of highs. And I found that if I sit in the center, I can kind of micromanage everything by being in that one spot, not one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of one of the things, Randy, that I've done with the podcast that I found, is, you know, it's conceptual, right? It's philosophy and it's art, so we can kick that stuff around. But all the time, as I've interviewed and see things develop, it's about kind of who we are and creation and healing and expression. So there's so much more of the psychology that's come out in the act of creation over time. And I definitely hear that in the forefront. What you're talking about. Before a couple more bigger questions, I was wondering a little bit more as far as your work as a photographer. I'm a metal guy. I love being at concerts. Love the imagery. Love both the crowd and the musicians. What is your experience like in the crowd as a photographer? What are you looking for in that role?
Well, it's really in the moment, how I'm feeling in the moment. Because a lot of times, me as a person, I don't like big groups. And with this smaller niche community, sometimes there's big crowds and sometimes there's little crowds, and I can gauge a room how they're going to respond to somebody like me being kind of in the way. I don't always take the time to not be in the way because I'm there to see the bands, and I'm there to document, and I'm trying to do it as artistic as possible. And if I got to step on some toes, it's a metal show anyways.
So right.
If somebody's not really going to get too terribly mad, I don't got to worry about smudging anybody's shoes or anything like that. But one of my mentors, Jordan Vance of Three Grit, and he really got me in there and to get me to grasp the concept of just get in there and do it. Because I was, like I said, growing up, I was really shy and whatnot. So it kind of, as I grew older, when it came to photography, it was the same way. I didn't want to really be in anybody's way, but I was there to see music anyway, so why not bring a camera with me?
Sure.
It took me a good 2-3 years to really get in there and get my elbows dirty, my fingers dirty, and get the good shots that I needed.
Oh man, yeah. I was really wondering that as I was thinking about you being at shows and just kind of like the different vantage point, like I said, from the performers, to the crowd. And I know as somebody who just, is there as a concert goer enjoying the music, I see so many singular images that mm-hmm. move me or that, make me laugh. Or honestly, the doom metal crowd, most of the places I go, are some of the best people I ever meet in the entire universe.
Oh, yeah.
So I tend to have a smile on my face and to be looking around and just kind of like open and curious about what's going on as a feeling I've enjoyed at the concerts for a long time. And thanks for capturing those images too.
Yeah. Thanks. It's, It's fun. I love it. I spent a lot of time trying to figure it out. At first, I wasn't really good at it. I just did it. And over time, I developed the eye to see, hey, this is something that could happen, and this is something that shouldn't be happening right now. So
yeah. Hey, that's one thing. Go ahead, Randy.
That's one thing I do miss about the pandemic and the Doom, you know, family, so to speak, is being that I'm friends with a lot of bands. We always exchanged hugs. So it's one of those things where, you know, you see one of your brothers in arms and you give them a hug. Well, with the pandemic, I can't give anybody a hug. And that's one thing I really miss right now.
I hear you. And I know it at shows or in life, just that connection, the feeling of being connected. Big issue, connection, just that word. One of the things I wanted to tell you is a good friend of mine. He's out in Pennsylvania. His name's Eric, and he got me into doom metal. Big metal fan, and he travels for metals. And his family is out in Portland, so I tend to see in regular show time him awesome. A couple times a year in Portland. And I've actually ran into him at, because he's been running around going place to place, run into him at shows, even though he's based out of Pennsylvania. So
that's wild.
It's been a great thing. Another thing I wanted to mention is my son's into metal. And speaking of concert photography, I looked at a photo from us, he and I being at a concert, an Anthrax concert in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Awesome.
I've spent some time out there, and this singular image, you know, is from 3 years ago. And I mean, I remember when I was hanging with him, and that's the power of what you do, that photography. Yeah. So I just wanted to thank you for that. I got a big question, Randy. Why is there something rather than nothing? And I know you got an answer. I know you do.
Yeah, that one is probably the craziest question I've ever had to like answer in life, period, like across the board. And I've done a lot of experimental things in my life. So it's like, you know, I may have already come across this answer and lost it long ago, but
I think you have. Go ahead.
I took a stab at it, and this is what I got. You know, the light of the universe is why there is something rather than nothing. Without light, we as beings would cease to exist. If the light goes out, then there will be no expended light particles to form carbon. Without carbon, there would be no life forms on Earth. When they said we are all dust in the wind, it wasn't far from the truth.
Damn. Randy, you're hitting us with this from Richmond, Virginia. He's got the answer. There it is. I love it. Thank you so much. And I love the science. I love the nothingness. I love the philosophy. And most of all, I love Doom. Randy J. Bird, can you tell me the listeners where to find your music, all the places to find your music, how to connect with you, Doomed and Stoned? Where do people find you? What do they do?
Well, Doomed and Stoned is doomedandstoned.com. I'm on there occasionally. I'm not on there all the time, but I love Doomed and Stoned. So you go there, anything on there, you can peruse, and you'll probably come across me here and there. I get used on Matt Bacon's blog a lot. A lot of my photos do. I have my own column, The Bird's Nest. I've only had one release of that. I've got a couple of reviews under my belt. As far as all my music, my 6-7 music is on ReverbNation.com. The Chernobyl Swamp Holocaust Noise Project is on SoundCloud. And our EP for Soundbite the Bullish is on SoundCloud as well. We do have a full length that is coming out. We spent the better part of from June to November recording it. We're in the polishing processes, and that is actually going to have its own release, maybe its own website in the future. But Short of that, I can be found on Facebook, Randy J. Bird, and then RFB Photography, RVA at gmail.com is my professional email.
Yeah, the professional one. The professional one.
Yeah, on professional.
Hey Randy, I wanted to, as you know, I really appreciate the time on the show, and I also want to tell you the connection for me. You know, I do this show. I talk to a lot of different artists, and being able to connect to the metal scene, to doom metal, to the work you're doing, and some of the things I'm really interested in, hip hop, metal, doom. Photography. I just wanted to tell you, I really appreciate your time, and it you know, in these times without the live music, it's really valuable for me. And I know the listener is going to really enjoy hearing from you, and you know, just into the future for all the things you're doing. Really appreciate it.
That means a lot, because for me, while I'm pretty introverted, I'm not too terribly social unless it's something I love, like doom metal or photography or anything like that. I kind of stick to myself, but to have you come to me and say what you've said to me in private as well as here today, you know, it kind of uplifted me, because at some points through all of this, it's approaching a year, I've felt down about it, you know, not being able to go forth and put content out there and kind of grabbing at straws to put it out there, because sometimes without the music, it's hard. So I had to reach back into my, you know, into my archives and kind of pull some things out. These are some old things. These are some bands that are putting things out. Here's some old pictures of them doing what they do while I'm doing what I do.
Yeah. Getting it out there. And part of what you're saying, even with the music, I mean, the something rather than nothing question, it's a big, large universe, right? And it sounds kind of, there's a lot of echoes a lot of time, right? You know?
So. Yeah, there's a lot of echoes and there's a lot of repeats. And one of those things where sometimes if you get stuck in that echo, it kind of repeats itself over and over again. It's like, you know, if you continue on, you'll continue on. Don't let go of it or it'll disappear into the netherworld.
Hey. Amen, brother. Hey, here's the thing, listeners, Randy J. Bird and Ken Vellante here with Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. I know, Randy, I know I'll see you at a doom metal show at 12 to 24 months of a range. And when we're there, we'll get a photo and do the doom metal the way it should be done.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's one of those things where I've traveled all over the world. And if you're in the Portland area and Billy decides he's going to do another Portland Doom and Stone Festival, then I'm going to be there.
It's going to happen. Randy J. Bird, thank you so much for your time. Yes. Great pleasure chatting with you. And thanks for coming on Something Rather Than Nothing.
Thank you so much. You are doing the world a service.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, man.
Take care.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.